We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Blitzzoneduo.com. My name is Stephen Godfrey. Thank you for your support. This will not be a two-hour episode because I have to go meet Mr. Ryan Nanny for lunch in just a minute. I'm recording this on Thursday, February 22nd. We continue to be, I wouldn't say off the rails. I would just say we're a little aberrant in how we're scheduling Single Wing right now because, and before I get into the show and a slightly modified format this week, I'm going to talk very briefly about some differences that you might have noticed this week on the big show where we took a single topic. We made it a little more standalone or in media terms, evergreen. And what that means is something that you could listen to this week as soon as it comes out, or something that you could listen to hopefully 5 or 6 months from now, and it still holds quality and relevance. We had our summit 2 weeks ago here in Nashville, and we are growing as a company. We're going to be experimenting with some things, some formats, frequencies, all kinds of stuff. And so if you notice, that was one of them. I'm trying to think of the other things I can say right now. I can say next week I will open a question thread for Mr. Dan Wetzel and the inaugural, I love it, book club podcast that will be exclusive for subscribers here. I will probably make it available to our free audience maybe like late spring or summer. But for now, we're going to close that just around y'all paying folk. So I will have a question thread very similar to a Single Wing ready for y'all. Very briefly looking at the calendar, for those of you who I get a lot of questions of like, hey, am I going to get I got to mow a lawn, although we're not doing that in February. I got to make a drive. People like to know when these bad boys are coming. Ostensibly, ideally, they're supposed to hit every Monday, but it's been a thing. I would like to can one more. And actually execute it on a Monday as we move to our new recording schedule in the off season, and we change some things around here. If we do that, that will be somewhere in your feed on the 26th-ish, 27th-ish of February. I will then be on the road canning that interview with Mr. Wetzel, as well as working on some other projects. Real big project for me coming up called Project X, which is a super cliche name, but that's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head to indicate what it is I'm working on. I've alluded to it here before, but I will be on the road for Project X the week of the 4th. And so I will probably miss one of the regular SCD shows coming up. I don't know which one, depending on travel. But you can expect a Single Wing next week, and then we're going to be off the following week because I will be working on a book club podcast. And yeah, that's about as concrete as I can provide. I know Richard will be at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. And I know he will have some content specific to that we will work out in the shows. And then after that, you know, stay vocal. I felt really good about that show. I felt in the new sort of format that we're playing around with, I volunteered to be the guinea pig, in which I kind of came up with a theory about the decline in either appeal or frequency or whatever you want to say about the MAC coaching cycle and how that affects the group of five. Went, did a lot of research, sort of presented findings, and then we discussed it as a group. I'm very tempted, and this is kind of where we might be headed as a company, of reassembling the data, taking a couple key points that I think came up absent the data. I was kind of kicking myself after the fact because you're always begging for context. You're always seeking context. And when we just looked at the raw data of frequency on coaching changes and then where those coaches were going, so basically all non-fired coaches, departures, voluntary departures in the MAC, are they moving on to coordinator positions in the P5? That was kind of my theory that, you know, the appeal of being a MAC head coach was in decline. Well, money is a tremendous piece of context. And so I would like to almost replot some of that data against the average salaries. That would require a little bit more of a heavier lift. And also, I don't have access to all that data. But we could probably create some markers in there that just sort of create a baseline average. It's funny, if you listen to the show when I was talking about the Eastern Michigan head coach in 1994 who moved on to Louisville, you know, his base salary at Louisville was $100,000. A little different. A little different now, 30 years later. So I might create a YouTube video out of that, that again would be something standalone. By the way, I'll take this moment as it has just sort of entered into the discussion. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. I'm not saying that that's the future of the company. I don't want to alarm anyone who is dogmatic about their podcast. We're not going anywhere as a podcast. Certainly Single Wing's not good. Single Wing's definitely not going anywhere, because if y'all recall, I tried to do this on camera at the length that y'all are accustomed to for this show, as a completely solo show where I am, you know, reading every question, reacting to every question, providing analysis, all this kind of stuff, but then also producing it live as I record and keeping an eye line. So when you record just looking into a camera, you have to keep an eye line, and there's no editing because it's a single live shot. This may not sound complicated, it is tremendously so, to create a video that isn't just a person sort of staring off towards like the left corner of the screen or saying and like too much. It was honestly more pain than it was worth, because a video like that is not really going to do anything. There is a specificity to when you're going to consume a show like Single Wing, and we love it, and we love your participation and your energy. But then after that, it's probably not something that would like live on a, you know, on a place like YouTube for 6 months. So it's way easier for me to multitask, because you can't see what I'm doing right now. I'm looking at different screens and pulling stuff up, and yeah, this is a better format. And that's the questions we're asking. We want y'all to provide feedback in that regard of saying like, hey, I want to consume this, and I want to consume it this way. That's what we're trying to do, is be agnostic to platform and just be a really, really good content company, full stop. That's it. We want to be the smartest football product out there, specifically in college. But as y'all know, there are times where, you know, you might talk about Texas high school coaches. You might talk about crossover with NFL coordinators at a place like Kentucky. We're not going to be rigid. I think in seeking out the knowledge, that would be a very stupid thing to do. And also, like, that's no different than most of the college football podcasts on the market looking at something like the FCS and just saying like, oh, we're not going to fuck with that. Okay, well, y'all as an audience are, I think, predisposed to understand why that's dumb, or you're trained to, or, you know, maybe you didn't care about the FCS, but you started with our show and now you do. I would love if that's the case. We want to be the appreciation machine. It's an old, old, old phrase from an SB Nation meeting many moons ago. All right, we're going to go rapid, and then I will explain the format change when we get there. Okay, so by the way, if you're listening and you're in the industry, thank you for, talk to your buddy Godfrey. A lot of you reach out months after, you're like, hey, I started listening, and then I find out you're an assistant coach somewhere, you're in an athletic department, you're a conference commissioner, like, holler at me. This is how we build relationships. And I know that a lot of y'all are listening, but if you're only here for the football, which is why I brought that up, we will front load this episode, as always, with the football. We will back in this episode with whatever you guys want to talk about, although today I did give you a writing prompt. There's a little bit of football in the back end of it, but it is more sort of, I guess, non-industry or newsy. How's that? Does that work? I want to make one announcement based off of your questions right up. I received, I want to say, 4 different versions of the same question. And when that happens, unless it's just really timely, I don't answer it. What I do then is I go to the boys and I say, we should make like a standalone episode out of this, or if there's this kind of demand, we should do more than just Godfrey firing off a quick, you know, answer to a rapid fire question on Single Wing. That question was about San Jose State and Ken Niematalolo. I got 4 versions of the same question on why so long, adaptation, offensive scheme. So that instantly tells me, I put a little post-it up on the board and say, we need to revisit this, in a larger sense. I'm not planning on being in Northern California anytime soon. You know, we aren't really a traveling outfit, although I will be on the road the next couple of weeks for a non-SED-related project. Of course, I would love to go to San Jose and talk to Ken directly. It's been a while since I've done an interview with him. Maybe that's in the cards. I don't know. As we build as a company, we kind of have to figure out how those things work. But I wanted to let you know, if you were asking the Kenny Amatololo question, I am not ignoring you. What I'm actually doing the reverse is I am tabling that or shelving that to find a better, smarter, longer way to do it. Jake, do you think Pat Fitzgerald ever coaches again? Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I'll go ahead and answer a bunch of these. I think Mel Tucker coaches again. I think that, who else is in disgrace right now? We'll start with those two because they led the coaching cycle in a sort of unexpected way last cycle. If Pat Fitzgerald wants to coach again, he will. The unique situation about Pat is that his prominence bases entirely off of being an assistant head coach at his alma mater, taking over after the death of a coach, and then creating this incredibly long run at his alma mater in which he tailored almost everything to his liking and preference. You're not going to find that in another place, bud. So does Pat want to coach again? If Pat is seeking to recreate the situation he had in Evanston, I don't think he will coach again because I don't think that's possible. I don't think it's not like he's going to magically receive an apology from Northwestern or an about face or anything like that. Is over. It is over. They are done. And also, I think the bigger question here is, if I'm an employer, what is Pat doing for me? Is he going to be a head coach? Because there was a noticeable decline because of aggressive resistance in embracing change at Northwestern. To have the interim Braun come in and revitalize those guys. And I know, look, flawed and small piece of data. We're talking about one interim season. But if you caught any Northwestern, they sure did look more reinvigorated. Thomas asked a question that I'm going to make him rephrase because I don't understand it, but I thought it was funny. As a Vanderbilt fan, I want to get kicked out of the No Fun Super League and go play in the Non-Anal Retentive League, right? I think you're asking if there was some sort of super league created solely out of the Big Ten and the SEC, would you want to be in it? Vanderbilt is obviously an outlier in so many different ways in the Southeastern Conference, but Thomas, I want you to come back and tell me what you want and why, because if not, the question almost gets kind of too big to discuss. Of course, the short answer is you're going to always want to go to the place where you would draw the most revenue or rev share, but life at Vanderbilt is not great right now. Living very, very close to West End Avenue, I can tell you that there is zero morale around the revenue sports. I have not checked in on how they're doing in baseball, but I know it's been a different world since Tim Corbin was just routinely clocking in, you know, in the College World Series final, because a lot of programs in the league caught up with them. And that is the last baseball talk of the year, I promise. Zach, what's going to happen first? A G5 team wins a playoff game, or a non-Big Ten, non-SEC team wins the title? And does that happen? Does either happen, that was my error, not yours, during the 2020s. Okay. So the parameters here are, we have 6 to 7 years, depending on how you would, you know, if the 2029 season would count because the game would be played in 2030, whatever. So let's just say we have 7 years. And this is a really good question. I would almost put it up to a poll because I'm curious which y'all have more, like what y'all have more confidence in. Right now, based off of, if I had to close my eyes and think of 30 odd programs that are national title contenders in the next 4 years, and I know I said seven, but I still maintain it's impossible to project out past about 3 years given the state of college football. I don't see anyone other than Notre Dame potentially, and that's a big potential, or Florida State, or Clemson maybe, and I have so many doubts about Clemson moving forward, making the final. I know I just cut out the entire Big 12, but we're also looking at an expanded playoff field. I know how that feels if you're a Big 12 fan, but I want you to think honestly right now, could TCU recreate what they had, but keep playing, sort of keep having, it's like hot hand fallacy as you go through the playoffs, because I think a lot of that TCU season, if you looked at it, again, objectively and not subjectively, I was very happy that TCU went as far as they did, because diversity in the postseason is a tremendous benefit to the sport, which is also why I think it's great that Michigan won the national title, believe it or not. I don't know if the TCU hot hand exists if they have to play, like, let's just say that national title game against Georgia is now a semi. Well, yeah, they're not going to get past Georgia in that situation. So therefore, I think a G5 team winning a playoff game is likelier, because you're going to catch a situation where someone is going to have a injury concern in a weird circumstance in that opening round. That is going to be likelier in this decade